matter how much smarter you are than me, I will still always have one thing over you. That's treachery, right? That's the one thing that old people excel at, is treachery.
In the United States federal law, sedition primarily refers to seditious conspiracy under 18 U.S. Code 2384. This occurs when two or more persons conspire to overthrow, put down, or destroy by force the government of the United States.
We have soldiers in training and prepared to be deployed if necessary. I remind you, a warning order is a heads up for folks. And these National Guard troops are our National Guard troops.
Because you work at the federal government, that you somehow have absolute immunity from committing crimes? That's not true in any law school in America, whether it's Yale or Villanova or anywhere else. That's not true.
Show up and use your voice. Put your body on the line.
Our Constitution, written by our founders, is intended to protect us against a threat identical to Donald Trump, someone who seeks power at all costs to get more power.
If any of them want to come in this city and commit a crime, you will not be able to hide. Nobody will whisk off. You don't want this smoke, because we will bring it to you. And the fake, whatever they call them, because I can't say the name, but the criminal in the White House would not be able to keep you from going to jail.
No, people are out marching and all today, and we need to speak up. We need to be out there and shut this rogue government down, because it's just awful what they're doing to people.
There's what's called the 3.5% rule, which is that if you look at authoritarian regimes of various kinds all over the world over the last, like, century, once you have 3.5% of a population protesting nonviolently against a dictator or an authoritarian, that is essentially an unstoppable force that they can't oppose, and that precludes them from consolidating dictatorial power.
3.5%.
3.5%. It's not that much larger a number than what we're already seeing in the streets against Trump.
Levy war against the United States.
And it's clear. Look, I don't know. I don't think any governor in history has had to fight a war against the federal government every single day. Well, I said this yesterday. We've never been at war with our federal government.
Opposed by force the authority of the United States.
Minnesota will not allow our community to be used as a prop in a national political fight. We will not take the bait.
Why are people showing up in vehicles, in convoys, not just in Minneapolis, but all over the country, in an effort to obstruct lawful federal law enforcement activities?
Prevent, hinder, or delay by force the execution of any U.S. law, or seize or possess by force any property of the United States contrary to its authority.
I'm far enough away. I'm not influenced by anything.
Do you live on the street?
I don't, no.
Okay, I need you to get in here.
No, I won't.
Ma'am, I need you to leave.
It's my right to be here.
Back up out of the
I
way.
Will
right.
Not.
One of our cars, yeah, as well. You were too close right now. No, you were interfering.
I'm right here.
Federal investigation.
You're going to get out of my face.
You need
I'm
to back
a public
up over
citizen.
Here.
No, I won't. Tell me
you
why I'm far enough
way.
Away from your investigation.
You need to back up
step,
this way.
Step beyond our cars. Okay,
don't touch me, please.
Let me say to this federal agencies and ICE. This is Oregon. We do not need you. You're not welcome. And you need to get the hell out of our community.
I don't know where people got the notion that if you disagree with our immigration laws, it is okay to oppose federal law enforcement. It is not okay. It is illegal. And if you use your car to ram a police officer or a federal agent, they're going to use deadly force. So people need to know this is not a game.
The definition of treason is explicitly defined in the U.S. Constitution, Article 3, Section 3, and codified in 18 U.S. Code 2381, consisting of levying war against the United States or adhering to the enemies of the United States, giving them aid and comfort.
No matter what you do to me, you can arrest me or not. I am going to document your illegal actions. Because if there is no accountability today, there will be accountability tomorrow.
Dude, I'm going to war. I'm going to war. I'm going to war. I'm putting down the Cruller donut and the Dunkin' Donuts beverage, and I am going to war. Mark my words, Hegseth. I'm coming for you.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
All right, welcome back, folks. I thought this tweet from Dissident West was very much how I feel. From at Dissident West on Twitter. Not trying to sound blackpilled, but it's becoming increasingly obvious this administration's goal is not mass deportations. It's to turn the public off from that idea so it's never even mentioned again. Everything they do, from the deportation edits to stuff like this, and it's a video of them arresting like a 17-year-old working at Target or something, is to create the worst optics imaginable so that the Overton window shifts back to where it was before. If deportations were their actual way, were their actual goal, there's a million better ways to do it that wouldn't come off as so openly cruel. Either that or they're grotesquely incompetent, but I don't think that's the case. And then, I've heard other people, I saw a clip from Nick Fuentes' show yesterday where he's going, you guys are crying crocodile tears at this dumb lady that got shot trying to run a cop over. Like, what? You got to harden your hearts. Or other people, well, we are Trump supporters, but these deportations, we really can't stand. And it's not that I'm against the deportations because I think they're particularly cruel or something. I don't. I think these people are criminals and they can leave the country whenever they want. It's not actually that hard to not find yourself in this situation. You have to really make a lot of deliberate choices to find yourself here. So I don't actually feel bad for them at all. But I am concerned about the ability of the left to portray this as something brutal. I don't like that they seem to be doing stuff that is designed to deliberately aggravate the left. I don't think it's the most efficient or effective use of manpower. And it's certainly, it's not a question that the rate at which deportations are happening, we're not even making a dent. We're not even making a dent. We deported like 300,000 people. This year. 10 times that would be necessary just to get us back to where we were in 2020, which even that, I might even be underselling it. Like, we might even need more than that to get back to where we were. And that doesn't even count the fact that illegal immigration was such a big issue that it was the number one thing Trump talked about when he was getting elected in 2016. So just to get back to 2016 numbers, we'd need like millions and millions a day. So the deportations are not happening fast enough, but they are happening in a way that provides for the most amount of chaos, the most amount of interference, the most amount of dangerous situations where people can and have been hurt or killed. So is that the plan? Is that what they're doing? And can you sort of apply this to everything Trump is doing? When he says either they're grossly incompetent or this is on purpose, it's kind of the same thing. And maybe at the end of the day, that'll be a good thing. Maybe at the end of the day, that really is what we need. Maybe we really do need to just fully lose hope in our system so we can stop relying on it and form something new. Maybe in the long run, this is a positive. I would have liked to seen Trump cross the Rubicon, go all in, start up a new law enforcement agency, sick it on his enemies, charge them with the crimes they've committed in courts with judges you can trust, and just get it done. That would have been really, really wonderful. But at this point, it really seems like the lesson that they're trying to teach America is like, this whole voting for somebody that's against us thing doesn't work. Voting for somebody that's going to, you know, totally rearrange things and set things right, it's not actually possible in this system. So you might as well just vote for Jeb. You might as well just vote for Lindsey or something so you can at least get yours. But yeah, we just need to, I guess, come to terms with Trump's failure at this point. It's been a year, and it's not getting any better. And it's actually only getting worse, and it's particularly disheartening because we see what awaits us. We see, you know, what's coming next. If you look at Australia, which has always been the testing ground for the New World Order, since the gun control confiscation in the 90s, I mean, that's been where they roll out their most authoritarian control systems. From Glycine Nationalist on X, everybody in the Anglosphere, America and Western Europe needs to be watching what's going on in Australia. The government is passing there under parliamentary urgency the most draconian and illiberal, quote, anti-hate censorship and repression laws in the entire Western world. Australia will soon be more repressive than Britain or Germany. A true multicultural police state, the government is using the Bondi massacre by Islamists who killed not only Jewish people but white Australians to justify going after the nationalist right. These new laws will take effect retroactively and essentially allow the Home Office Minister to ban any right-wing organization that it does not like. Breaking these laws will carry a penalty of 7 years in prison. It says the point of the legislation in Australia is to make nationalism illegal effectively and to demoralize nationalists into accepting mass migration. They're going to make examples out of NSN, which is the National Socialist Party there in Australia, in order to terrorize the Australian people. This is left-wing state terrorism. That's exactly what it is. And again, like maybe this also will turn out to be a good thing, because what's happened already is that the nationalist organizations in Australia are already disbanding, because they're basically saying that if this group exists when this law goes into effect, they'll all be charged with crimes. Just being a part of a group, you don't have to actually ever have committed a crime. It's just they label a group as now illegal, and anybody who's a member of that group has therefore committed a crime. So obviously this is just blatant government repression of a political perspective. There's really no other way to view this. But do you think the people that are in these groups are going to stop their efforts? I mean, they'll just have to go underground. Maybe it'll be a good thing. You know, maybe this will, you know, prepare people for the future. Because things are only getting worse. They're only getting more authoritarian, more restrictive. Maybe it'll be useful to learn how to communicate in secret, to keep things offline, to build networks in the shadows that you don't make public at all. Because even awareness of the group will mean a crackdown by authorities. So some tactics are going to have to change, but it's absolutely brutal what Australia is implementing with their Combating Anti-Semitism, Hate, and Extremism bill. This is a thread from Australians versus the Agenda. The Combating Anti-Semitism, Hate, and Extremism Bill 2026 has been published, and it's worse than you think. It criminalizes speech that merely causes fear, even if no harm occurs. 5 years in prison. 5 years in prison for causing fear. Whatever that means. This is they call it the exposure draft that's been leaked to the public. It defines public place so broadly that it includes the internet, meaning posts, video, tweets, memes, and blogs all fall within the scope. So again, basically they're saying you can't say certain things in public. And what they mean by public is any electronic communication whatsoever. A person commits an offense if A, the person engages in conduct in a public place, and B, the person engages in the conduct intending to, one, promote or incite hatred of another person or group of persons because of the race, color, national, or ethnic origin of the target or target group, or two, disseminate ideas of superiority or hatred of another group or person or group of persons because of the race, color, national or ethnic group or target group. But obviously not white people. I mean, obviously they're not going to go after brown people for causing hatred of white people. After all, we've gone viral pretty recently. It was the Australian neighborhood with a big mural of a brown girl killing a white guy in a British uniform. I seriously doubt that will come under the purview of this. In fact, I'm almost certain it won't. The law states it's irrelevant whether hatred actually occurs or whether anyone truly felt fear. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It says definitions in this section, engages in conduct in a public place without limiting. When a person engages in conduct in a public place, a person engages the conduct in a public place if the person communicates to the public using any form of communication, graffiti, playing recorded material, or broadcasting your information. For the purpose of subsection 1, it is immaterial whether A, the target or members of the target group actually are distinguished by their particular race, color, national, or ethnic group, or B, the conduct actually results in hatred of another person or group of persons, or C, the conduct actually results in any person feeling intimidated, feeling harassment or violence, or fearing for their safety. What? So they are literally making anything and everything illegal. They're saying it's illegal to cause hatred or fear, but also you don't actually have to cause hatred or fear to be guilty. What? That's just literally doesn't make any sense. I mean, how do you even justify that? It's immaterial whether the people are actually distinguished by a particular race, color, national, ethnic origin. So it's like you're not allowed to target a specific person on the basis of the national origin, but it's immaterial whether that's actually the case or not. Okay, what is this law? You are guilty of displaying a prohibited symbol unless you can prove a religious, academic, or journalistic exemption. Gee, I wonder what symbols they mean there. Critics condemn loopholes. Well, there are loopholes. There are very deliberate and expansive loopholes specifically carved out for the people that committed the terrorist attack that this law is being based on. Wrap your mind around that one. The AFP minister can declare prohibited groups without procedural fairness, including relying on retroactive conduct. That power can extend to actions that occurred outside Australia. Penalties include up to 7 years in prison if you have membership in a prohibited group, sentences to as much as 15 years for supporting, training, recruiting, or funding a banned group. And hate preachers get a loophole exemption for the purpose of religious teaching or discussion. So the hate speech law that's being passed on the basis of this Islamist attack in Bondi Beach is to basically criminalize white Australians from advocating for themselves. From OzPill at Oz_pill. Australia's response to the Islamic attack on Bondi Beach just dropped, and there's not one mention of Islam, despite instead it seems to specifically protect Islamic hate preachers via religious exemptions. The bill otherwise vaguely cracks down on free speech and right-wing political organizations in the name of, quote, combating anti-Semitism. There's heaps of insane stuff like criminalizing speech based on fear, including if it was on the internet, ministers being able to list organizations as prohibited hate groups based on retrospective evidence without procedural fairness and with jail time ranging from 7 to 14 years as a consequence of assisting or being a member of such groups. Far-right political groups have already been earmarked to fall under this designation. Our so-called conservative party, the Liberal Party, has already vowed to support the bill. It's unknown how many other supposedly right-wing parties will do the same. They are literally using an Islamic terror attack to go after free speech and right-wing groups, things that they wanted to do regardless, now that they have the moral justification of, quote, combating anti-Semitism, which they hope will fool large swaths of regular Aussies into blindly agreeing with egregious attacks on our society. If this bill goes to a debate, in the coming days. Heaps more info on the bill and resources on political and Australian politics in this thread. So, I mean, again, you know, it's as insane as everything else we cover. Some people are looking at this, you know, the silver lining on the cloud, like I just said, you know, this will actually sharpen the ability of the National Socialists there in Australia to operate under the radar, but it will obviously massively hamper. But again, there is nothing explicit about, you know, a group like the National Socialists, sort of like the neo-Nazi, I guess you could call them, party, and your average Australian patriot or any conservative group. Essentially, all they're saying is that if you aren't in favor of your people's displacement and dispossession of your country, then you're a hate group. Like, if you're against migrants at any level for any reason, you're a hate group. So they're just codifying right now in Australia the political landscape where only deconstructionist, only anti-white, anti-European, anti-Australian, anti-American people can actually have a voice and speak out. And they're actually making it illegal to organize if you're not one of those groups. This is a fundamental attack on the very concept of freedom of speech, freedom of conscience in the Western world. And we really have to oppose this with everything we've got. And it is coming here if we aren't careful. And I've got some videos about this. Guys, do you have time to censor clip 23? Let's go to clip 23 here.
The massive failing that is Australia's multicultural soup and the immigration Ponzi scheme that we run here created guys like this who perpetrate events like mass shootings on a Jewish event in Australia. And in order to combat that, our government decides to push through emergency legislation that's going to empower this guy, the Minister for Home Affairs, who loves mass immigration and whose electorate is in a place where 60% of the households don't have English as a first language. They're going to decide who is and isn't the enemy in society anymore. And then they're going to bring down the full force of the law against them. This legislation will create a new framework that will enable the Minister for Home Affairs to list organisations as prohibited hate groups. And once an organisation is listed, it will be a criminal offence to be a member, recruit for, donate to it, or receive funds that support that group in any way. I'll go out on a limb here and assume that that's going to be anyone who disagrees with mass immigration and the Nazis, because, you know, Nazis are dangerous. The unification of Australia continues unabated by your elected officials. What's even is that it has bipartisan support. We don't effectively have an opposition party in Australia. It was pretty clear to me last year, especially after October 19th, that they were going to do everything they could to try and shut down the end mass immigration movement in Australia. It was pretty obvious to me. I knew that they were going to start locking people up. The fact that they threw Joel Davis in jail and they've effectively kept him as a political prisoner, regardless of how I might feel about him and the organisation that he represents, is completely and utterly wrong, and it shouldn't be happening. However, it's about to get 100 times worse. They're going to be locking up people left, right and centre. In fact, I can't even guarantee that I won't be on a list to be locked up. However, I'm trying to play a straight bat here and work within the system and the framework that these keep creating for us, as hard as that may be. If you're operating on the fringes, and if you are going to do that's considered spicy, I would suspect that you're probably going to end up in jail. And I'll be honest with you. If you end up in jail, if you end up dead, if you end up losing everything you own in this game, this game of thrones for control of our country, then you've lost the game. If it looks like that's where you're about to end up, then you should seriously consider the way you're playing the game, because you're going to lose. I believe that we can win without losing everything, without going to jail and without everybody dying. However, we all need to do this together. That's why you should join the Australian Lobby Group.
The problem is that the game is rigged. The game is rigged, and the game you're playing, they're changing the rules to say that you can't play anymore. Do you understand? It might be time to stop playing within the rules to a large degree. And so again, maybe this will be a mistake down the line. Let's go to clip 33 here, because this explains that the religious exemptions will apply to Jews and Islamists in Australia, but not Christians. Okay, let's watch.
Where you've spoken about expressions of race, colour, and national or ethnic origin. And it says on the fourth line there, for example, those of Jewish origin would be protected by the offence. Given that Jewish people, I could convert to Judaism, how then do you suggest that you'll be protecting Jewish people of different ethnic origins under this legislation?
So for this offence, that reference draws on the Racial Discrimination Act, it is in that context these terms have been found to encompass Jewish people, also Sikhs, as ethno-religious groups.
Okay. So you would be satisfied that using that basis, that people chanting gas the Jews or death to Jews, that would encompass that group of people, despite them, you know, it might be a Ukrainian Jewish person or a person from Israel.
Yes, so we're satisfied that reference to persons or groups distinguished by race, colour, or national or ethnic origin encompasses Jewish people.
Okay, what about other religious groups? Would it protect, I'm Catholic, would it protect Catholic people?
I mentioned I think there has been consideration that it will apply to Sikhs as also an ethno-religious group. And in other contexts, it would depend on the broader range of characteristics, being Catholic alone would not constitute race, colour, national or ethnic origin, but might be that in certain circumstances, if there are broader other considerations that meant those individuals formed part of one of those groups, that would be covered.
What about Christians more broadly then? Would that be considered covered by this legislation? Would that group be considered protected by this legislation?
As just an entire group of Christians, that wouldn't be, but there could be particular Christian groups that might pick up those characteristics.
Okay, so there you go. Does this apply to Jews? Yes, absolutely. Does it apply to Sikhs? Yep, they are an ethno-religious group. Well, what about Catholics and Christians? Nope, doesn't protect them. Okay. Okay, great. Really hard to see what you're doing here. So, I mean, that's it for Australia, pretty much. I mean, they are literally making it illegal to advocate for white Australians' continuing existence while empowering every other group with not just the ability to say whatever the hell they want, no matter how hateful it is, but the money to do it, too, as they're all getting grants from the Australian government as we speak. So it's a takeover, and it's almost complete. Wake up now, or that's it, Australia. More on the other side. Stay with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, This was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new products, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it and support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster.
Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision.
Down with the globalist. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, folks. Welcome back to the land down under, where everything's retarded, where everything's stupid and backwards. As put on display there during the Olympics. I'm actually going to take your calls for the second half of today's episode of The War Room. I am going to ask that our regular callers hold off. I know you got us on speed dial, but if you've never gotten on the show before, if you've never called in or never made it on the show, give us a call. The number to dial is 1-877-789-2539, 1-877-789-2539, and we'll take your calls. I want to continue on the Australian hate speech bill for a little bit. Let's go to clip 39 now, because this, I think, again, just exposes the absurdity of the law that Australia is attempting to pass as we speak. Let's watch.
You know, policing speech and the hate speech has been on the cusp for a long time, and I think we were all hoping and praying that it wouldn't actually come through. But like you said, they kind of this week rammed it through under, like you said, the Trojan horse of anti-Semitism. It is 100% what they've used to push this legislation in. And I think it was Craig Kelly who said, you know, you can go to prison for 7 years now for saying we have to beat Labor. You know, like theoretically.
No, look, but, if anyone brings that case, but seriously.
They will. This is the problem with this sort of precedent. You know, we have to kick them out. Like, where does it end? Who gets to define these arbitrary laws? Who defines what hate speech is? Who defines what hate symbols are? I would actually push back a little bit on what you said, Caleb, in that some of the legislation you think was good in terms of displaying terrorist symbols. Because if you look up in the USA, the ADL's list of what they deem as terrorism symbols or hate symbols, one of them is White Lives Matter. The other one is Thor's hammer. A third one is Celtic crosses. Being Celt myself, I find, like, it's outrageous to me that there is somebody in some form of authority somewhere across the world who deems a Celtic cross as a form of hate symbol. And so you've got to always look at what precedes and hopefully heed warning and example. And if you look across the world, what's happening, we would be naive and stupid to think that it isn't possible happening here. I mean, who defines this? See, because if people are afraid to speak out loud and they think they're going to end up in prison, we're not going to be able to discuss ideas. We can't say, you know what, immigration is a bad idea because that could be racist. We're not allowed to say that. I think it's really bad women are in, you know, trans women are in, you know, biological women sports because then we're, you know, some kind of phobe. Like, where does it end? And I think it's very dangerous. Fear is enough to curb democracy. And if everyday Australians are fearful that they can't speak freely and discuss these hard ideas, then they're not going to have a proper democracy here. And we're literally ruled by whoever deems whatever is hate in a court of law.
There you go. Evelyn Ray, we'll lose our home, we'll lose our people, we'll lose our culture, because basically it's whoever decides what hate is. And it can change. And, you know, once you allow them to determine one thing is hate and therefore not a valid political position to have, it's going to expand and it's going to expand rapidly. And, you know, sure, the, you know, National Socialists have shut down their network and shut down their group. Do you think they're going to be the only ones that are targeted by this? Whatever other group comes next. I mean, this is about actually shutting that Overton window, like drawing a hardcore line and going, you're allowed to talk about and advocate things up to this point, but beyond that, it's illegal and you'll go to jail. And we aren't going to tell you exactly where that line is. So you be careful not to cross, or else you and your entire group and everybody in your group is going to jail. Because now, since you said that one thing, now your group is a hate group. Now everybody in your group is a criminal. So don't cross that line, or else you and everybody you're a part of will be arrested. And even if it doesn't go that far, you can just look at what they're doing with like AfD in Germany. If a right-wing group gets popular, it'll be allowed to get popular up to a certain point, and then suddenly it will become dangerous. It'll become a hate monger group. And whoever's in charge of that particular moment will be able to claim that they are hateful and shut them down. Now, the flip side of this would be that you could like rewrite this law to not have all of the explicit carve-outs and caveats for Islamists, and then you could, you know, arrest them for their speech. I would hate to see this become a, you know, arms race of who can ban their enemies' ideas first, but right now it's just one side is banning the other side's ideas. Maybe we need to take a lesson from that, perhaps. We got a few more videos about this. Let's go to clip 29 here. This is George Mamelis saying Australia is in no way a democracy. Let's watch.
Watch this. The bill is a combating anti-Semitism, hate and extremism bill. It's a comprehensive package of reforms which creates serious offences for hate preachers and leaders seeking to radicalise young Australians. It increases the penalties for hate crimes offences. It ensures that offenders whose crimes were motivated by extremism have that factored into their sentencing. It creates a new offence for inciting hatred in order to intimidate or harass. It expands and strengthens the ban on prohibited symbols, and it makes it easier for the Minister for Home Affairs to cancel or refuse a visa for people intent on spreading hatred. And it creates a new framework that will enable the Minister for Home Affairs to list organisations as prohibited hate groups. Once an organisation is listed, it will be a criminal offence to be a member, to recruit for it, to donate or receive funds or support that group in any way. The legislation will also set up the National Guns Buyback Scheme, bringing Australia's world-leading gun laws into the 21st century. The terrorists at Bondi Beach had hatred in their minds, but guns in their hands. This law will deal with both.
I warned all of you that we're going to use the NSN to call these laws in. This Prime Minister has done more damage to the Australian people than two radical Islamists ever could with guns. Now the Prime Minister has recalled Parliament early to rush through what is the most extreme speech laws Australia has ever seen, the so-called Combating Anti-Semitism, Hate and Extremism Bill 2026. But here's what they don't want discussed. These laws introduce a built-in exemption that allows hate preachers to escape punishment as long as what they say is framed as religious teaching or religious discussion. Islam can still spread. Ordinary Australians can be punished for symbols or speech, while extremist preaching is protected by a religious purpose loophole. And here's the truth no one wants to admit. The window to stop this is already closing. Parliament is performative. The Prime Minister controls the lower house. The deals are already done in the upper house. Next week isn't democracy. It's theatre. Let's be honest about who these laws fall on. Ordinary Australians. People speaking about what they're seeing in their own communities. Rising crime, social breakdown, public disorder, practices imported from overseas that clash with Australian values. A country is not a democracy when speech exists only by permission. God bless Australia.
Yeah, and I mean, it really is getting bad all across Western Europe. So bad, the Pope is even sounding off about it. Pope Leo, free speech is being eliminated in the West under Orwellian-style censorship. Orwellian-style censorship. Pope Leo the, what is that, 14th, used his annual address to foreign diplomats at the Vatican to issue a stark warning that struck to the heart of the Western political order. The first American pontiff cautioned that freedom of expression in the West is contracting under the liberal globalist banner of so-called progress and inclusion. According to the Pope, Western societies for a long time have drifted and continued to drift towards enforced consensus rather than open debate. He's exactly right. It's getting really bad. Of course, we had the member of the AfD on yesterday talking about how bad it's getting in Germany. He reminded us that today, a editor-in-chief of the Alternative for Germany newsletter or newspaper is now facing a very long time in prison over a meme where he took a picture of the, his enemy's party. She's holding a sign. He wrote, "I hate freedom of speech," and they arrested him for that. He may be going to jail. The appeal is happening right now. Another appeal was just denied in Brussels. 7-month sentence for political meme heads to appeal in Germany. This is that same one I was just talking about, but I want to go to video 43 here. This is Dries, I can't remember his last name, Van Lagenhove, I think. I'll find it on the other side. But here he is talking about being sentenced to potentially years in prison for private messages that were shared in a group chat that he was a member in. Not messages that he sent, messages that he read. Okay? His appeal has now been denied. Let's watch.
I have a good news and bad news. The bad news is that free speech is officially dead in Brussels. Today, the politically appointed Supreme Court has ignored all of the grave injustices committed against me and approved my prison sentence for racist memes in a private group chat. The good news is that 8 years of show trials, house raids, and other terror inflicted upon me by the Brussels regime has mentally prepared me to take this final big injustice on the chin and immediately get ready to hand out counterpunches. I am not backing down. There are 12 more criminal investigations and court cases for hate speech running against me, and none of them will ever stop me from fighting the Brussels regime and the Great Replacement. If you are with me until victory, share this video, show the world how the Brussels regime is killing freedom of speech in the heart of Europe, and show the world that resistance is alive and kicking. Oh, and by the way, this building behind me, the Palace of Justice, where the Supreme Court resides, was designed by a very corrupt Freemason who deliberately made it way too big because it had to be bigger than the St. Peter's Basilica in Rome to show the supposed victory of the Freemasons over the Church. But just like today, their victory will be short-lived. The Freemasons' Palace of Justice, or Injustice would be more correct, is literally collapsing from the inside out and impossible to repair. They had to install scaffolding to support the previous scaffolding. And just as this palace behind me is collapsing, the Brussels regime will soon collapse, no matter how many people they throw in jail for their opinion.
Yes, very, very symbolic there. A Belgian court sentences a prominent far-right activist to 1 year in prison for spreading hate. Dries Van Langenhove. Dries Van Langenhove at D. Van Langenhove. You know, thank God we aren't living in Europe. Thank God I can still speak freely. We still have the First Amendment. But they're doing absolutely everything they can to destroy it. And the attempts to destroy it at this point are coming almost exclusively from the Jewish lobby and the Israeli influence. As we showed last week, the Israeli billionaire saying, sorry, it's time we have to get rid of the First Amendment. It's over. It allows you to insult me, so it's not good. And they're like, yeah, we're going to get rid of it now. No, you're not, actually. Period. And I want to show a video here from Benjamin Netanyahu, because I think he's doing a little bit of projecting here. I think he's projecting a little bit. Clip 37 here. This is Benjamin Netanyahu laying out his perspective on what's going on. I think he's exactly wrong, but he describes a pincer move. Benjamin Netanyahu describes a pincer move against Jews around the world between Islamists and right-wing anti-Semites. And he wants you to know how barbarous and brutal those mean old Islamists are. Let's watch.
It's a pincer movement. On the one hand, you're being attacked by radical Islamists who make an alliance with these progressives who supposedly call for human rights. How can they support human rights when they support these murderers, the people who invaded us, who slaughtered our men, beheaded them, raped women and then murdered them, burned babies alive. You saw them also in Syria, these jihadists who tore out a heart from a Druze. It's a non-Muslim sect in Syria. You see this horrible video of this person cutting open the chest of a wounded Druze. He's still alive. And eating his heart out before he dies. I mean, this is barbarous. This is early Middle Ages. And so these people who speak of human rights, these progressives, are actually supporting the worst murderers on the planet. So that's one side of the attack. And the other is people on an extreme right that is also developing that are supporting them. These are not the people that we would call conservatives or people of who want to support the Judeo-Christian tradition on which our free civilization is based. And that's why we have to stand together, as I said before.
He loves invoking the early Middle Ages. What is it about that? He's always talking about the early Middle Ages as if it has relevance here. And, of course, he's got this tactic where anytime he's asked about something, like, specific, he just goes into these like gruesome descriptions of like gore. And it's just like, what are you talking about, dude? You're supposed to be talking about political landscape that you're dealing with. And you just spent half of that 2 minute clip describing somebody cutting somebody's heart out. Okay. What? By the way, let's go to clip 41 here. I just want to go to clip 41 real quick before we move on to talk about what Benjamin Netanyahu just said. I just want to show you a video from today. They're in Hebron, which is part of occupied Palestine. Let's watch. Okay, here we have some IDF soldiers attempting to detain a child, little boy. Little boy runs away. Oh, he gets away. Not for long. Boom! Gun down in the street right there. So, okay. Oh, yeah, there you go. Firing at the little boy for running away from you. So, I don't know, it's, I'm sorry, what, you were talking about being some sort of moral superior, Mr. Netanyahu? something about somebody cutting somebody's heart out. I don't know. All I know is every single day I see more and more videos of little kids being murdered by the IDF. So morally, you're not any better than the Muslims. Frankly, I think in a lot of ways you're worse. And a lot of ways the things that you describe, Mr. Netanyahu, the poor Druze having his heart cut out. Did that happen under Bashar al-Assad, or did that happen after you spent 15 years getting al-Assad out of the country so you could replace him with Islamists who then went on to carry out the attacks against the Druze and the Christians and any other ethnic minority within Syria? So it's like, okay, even the thing that you're describing is a direct consequence of your actions and your behavior. So again, what are we talking about here? And I think it's interesting that he sees a pincer move from the Red-Green Alliance on one side, progressive and the Islamists on one side, and the right-wing anti-Semites on the other. I see a completely different pincer move. I see a pincer move, and we can take Australia as maybe the best example, where you've got Muslims who hate white Christians carrying out a terrorist attack, and then you have Jewish groups weaponizing that terrorist attack to pass legislation that they'd been working on for months already anyway that made it illegal to oppose the Jewish lobby in Australia or to advocate for Australian heritage at all. That's the pincer move I see. I see a pincer move of Islamists and Jews working together, if not as partners, certainly as a feedback loop that is robbing us of our free speech, despite the fact that this is not our battle and not our fight. And we're not on either side at the end of the day. Am I wrong about what pincer move is happening here? Seems pretty blatant to me. And you have to understand how, like, ruthless this is. Because it's one thing to say, you know, you can't be an anti-Semite, no anti-Semitism. And then it's like, okay, well, then what if we just advocate for ourselves? We don't hate anybody. We don't even have to advocate against anybody. What if we're just in favor of white people and want white people to do well and want to advocate for white people? Well, you can't do that because at one point there was a state that, you know, was proud of being white and they didn't like Jews and they did the Holocaust. So because of the Holocaust, now being pro-white at all is de facto in and of itself anti-Semitic. And again, it's happening really in every, you know, Western country at this point. These laws are being put into place. And so you have the Muslims flooding in and making things worse, the white people reacting to it, and then that reaction being made illegal by the Jewish groups and their lobbying efforts all over the world, or, you know, like Benjamin Netanyahu himself. I mean, after Bondi, it was Benjamin Netanyahu himself who came out to make speeches saying, I expect a raft of anti-Semitic, you know, banning legislation to be passed on the basis of this. So that's the pincer attack. Pincer attack is against white people and specifically white men. And it's from the Islamists and the progressives, who obviously hate white people more than anything and only really hate Jews as an accident because they consider them white. And the other side being the so-called conservative Jewish groups that have taken over the Republican Party and are, you know, systematically eliminating anybody that, you know, wants to preserve white countries or Christian institutions. So I do see a pincer move. I just don't see it being aimed at Israel or the Jewish people. Let's go to clip 27 here. This is Dave Smith going off about some of this. As, again, I just want, you know, to reemphasize how utterly fraudulent and ridiculous, quite frankly, the moral superiority of the Israelis truly is. Let's watch.
But they want to sit there and try to convince you that no, now it's because we really care about the people. We're just really concerned. We have to overthrow the regime if they shoot their own protesters. After we're sending tens of billions of dollars to Netanyahu's regime. Because what? We care so much about Persian blood, just not Arab blood? Like, does anybody, or brainwashed? Do you have to believe that John McCain becomes a humanitarian. I understand he's dead, but they're all John McCain. So like John McCain becomes a bleeding heart hippie, but only when, but think about this, Rob, we can prop up Israel as they slaughter like 100,000 innocent people, but we become humanitarians. But coincidentally, we become humanitarians when it's, you know, Israel's biggest regional rival. That's when we start to really care about the people and the rights. And hey, are the women allowed to wear miniskirts? That's what really motivates my U.S. foreign policy, spreading liberalism around the world.
Yeah, it's again, it's like, wait, now you care about the Iranian people? You just want them to be free? Like, it's all, it's just all so unbelievably fraudulent. That's the only word for it. It really is. We're not going to quite have time to go to that clip 15 that I wanted to go to. We'll go to it on the other side because, again, it just talks about how we've been lied into every war since Vietnam. But it's worse than that, folks. We have been lied into every war. Maybe the Civil War was kind of clear cut. But folks, you ever heard of the Maine? You ever heard of Remember the Maine? I mean, the Maine, the Lusitania, Pearl Harbor, they knew was going to happen and did nothing to stop it, allowed it to take place so they could have the casus belli to get into war. Vietnam, the Gulf of Tonkin, totally fraudulent. Weapons of mass destruction, totally fraudulent. I mean, I don't know if there's been a war that America's been involved in since the Civil War that was not predicated or initiated on an absolute, abject, blatant lie. Because people don't want war. You have to lie people into it. The lie now is that we somehow care about the Iranian people, that it's for their sake that we want to overthrow their country. I don't think that's the case, actually. I think this is just brutal realpolitik conquering of a country for the sake of another country. It's not that complicated. It's certainly not beneficent or an act of goodwill or an act of charity on the world stage, but that's how it's being presented because the people are evil liars. We are going to go out to your phone calls for the entirety of the third hour. I'm sorry, thank you for holding, but we'll go to calls just as soon as we get back. I do want to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com today. I've got this beautiful looking knife that should be sitting out on my desk this whole time, actually. It comes with this sort of collector's edition box with the silver filigree on it. Is that the right word? I think it is. And it's actually this beautiful trench knife. I believe it's still 50% off on thealexjonesstore.com. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison. Listen to this. You know that? It snaps in. It's a very high-tech and very lightweight belt holster here. 40% off right now. So get it while you can at thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison. Life is fiery with its beauty on one side, the pinup girl on the other with the Alex Jones signature. It was 50% off yesterday. It's 40% off today. So it looks like that's going in a downward trajectory. Get it now at the cheapest price possible. 40% off, still a massive discount for this very powerful and very cool knife. It'll make a great gift for the little boy in your life. Or maybe adult. Maybe get it for an adult.
People can use this as a teaching moment. That, you know, there's a lot of, I see a lot of these people out there who think they can imitate Alex Jones. And they have never understood the amount of work that goes in to the detailed reports that you do. That it, part of that is, but the second part is, okay, if you're out there and you want to be Alex Jones or replicate Alex Jones, Alex teaches you the way to do it, just pay attention. One is learn history. Understand history. Understand what templates to look for. Once you understand that, you understand what the play is going to look like. And then you're just looking for who to cast in what roles. Because you understand the broader course of history. How these things tend to operate. How assassinations tend to occur. How cover-ups tend to happen. How false flags occur. How staged events occur. How also could the various forms of COINTELPRO type psyops to infiltrate dissident movements to distract them from the real conspiracy into fake conspiracy in order to feed a fake conspiracies into people who otherwise would be investigating the real conspiracy. Also to act as a discrediting agent So learn the methodologies, learn how to look at what's, how to review sources, how to understand the psychology of the participants involved. Once you understand that, you can be much more accurate and predictive at what took place with more explanatory power and more predictive capacity. And that's what Alex does, is massive amounts of work that starts with understanding history.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster.
Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision.
Down with the globalist. Get Ultra Methylene Red at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.